I call the Monday, September 11th, board work session meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Lozinski.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Fanouken.
Here.
Stoll.
Here.
Winter.
Here.
Okay, we will stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, and immediately following the pledge, I'm going to ask for a moment of silence in honor of 9/11. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Okay, and I welcome all our visitors. Good to see you again. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Kraft.
Yes.
Winter.
Yes.
Fanouken.
Yes.
Lozinski.
Yes.
Stoll.
Yes.
Motion carries.
At this time, we have our first hearing of the public, which is related to any agenda item. If you wish to speak, please state your name and address at the podium. No one. Okay. And that brings us to our board committee reports. And I do have just two quick things that aren't real. The only thing I have at this time is that it says for the first time bipartisan legislation will define a school resource officer in Ohio Revised Code and outline the officer's responsibilities and qualifications. House Bill 318 would require our school resource officers to complete a program approved by the Ohio Police Officer Training Commission, as well as 40 hours of SRO training through several associations. However, this legislation does not require districts to have a resource officer. And I don't know if that'll impact ours at all or not. He probably has all that. The other thing, and I think we've mentioned it before, but I think it can be stated again, Ohio students will see a slight reduction in state testing in the upcoming school year, as the state budget bill eliminated the fourth and the sixth grade state social studies tests effective immediately. And the state superintendent has recommended a broader change, eliminating one of those social studies tests plus two high school end of course exams. So we'll see if they can eliminate more. Mm-hmm. And that's all I have. Dr. Stoll, anything?
At this early point in the school year, I don't have anything student achievement.
And I was just made aware for policy that we have new updates.
We just received our latest box of NEOLA updates last week, and I was emailing back and forth with Ed Schwartz today to mm-hmm. schedule a time to go through them.
Okay.
So,
and you had asked if the board usually meets?
Yeah, usually.
Barb and I
think
meet,
it's,
right? Yeah, it's Barb.
Oh.
And now it's,
yeah, it's
oh,
Carol.
Excuse me, that's right. It's
Carol wanted to see all the exciting work that we do.
Yeah, it's exciting. Well, I was on the policy committee back in the dark ages before we had NEOLA. And so I know that was when Dan was superintendent, and he would just, like, after he received
sure.
the big box, we would sit down, like we would have them before and go through them and then sit down together. Is that pretty much
that's
what you
what,
did?
Yes.
With the NEOLA representative?
Well
here's what, the way I used to do it would be, I would get the box, I would go through them and then meet with the NEOLA representative, and they would give me more insight to it. And then it depends on what the board representatives want to do. Some want to sit talk about it. That's when I started putting it in a spreadsheet and saying, here's, and I break it into categories, saying here's whether it's new or revised, why it's being changed, why we should consider adopting it, whether it's in tune with recent legislative changes, and then who it would impact. And the reason we always do the who it would impact is because there's a tendency to pass policy on a central office board level and not get it down to the people who are actually using it. So what I could do is create that, send it, and then if we want to sit down and go through it, that's fine. Some people say, I just like to read it, and I get it, and that's fine too. However, whatever you two have as a preference, or if you want to meet and he wants an email, that's fine too. I don't have an issue with that.
I would like to meet.
Let's do that.
That would be great. Bob, do you want to meet about the policy?
I thought.
You and Bart?
No, it's you and me.
Oh, okay.
I could even, and like I said, I can meet with Carol, and if you want it electronically to proof.
Yeah, that's what I'd like.
And then we talk on the phone and do a conference call.
The big box is electronic.
No, we really get a big box now. We still get hard copies, but.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, then mark it all up then.
We do that.
Okay, that sounds like a plan.
Yep.
And we did that in the past with, where one would go, and if the other one couldn't make it, then, you know, at least they had access to it.
Look at it.
It works, okay.
So have fun.
Thank you.
It's not bad this time. I already went through them. They don't look bad. It has the gifted one from the summer. It repackaged it because it came out in summer, so we can pass it with the rest of the ones.
Okay, great.
Okay, finance and audit.
We have nothing to report on finance.
If I could jump in real quick under that. We do have audit underway now. The auditors are on site working on our annual audit. And then for the finance committee, I was wondering if you gentlemen would be available next Thursday. I believe that's the 21st. And if we could look at scheduling a finance committee meeting that day to go over the proposed budget that I would ask the board to approve on the 25th.
Timing-wise, what would work with it, Joe? Are you available in the morning?
I could do 8.
8 a.m.?
Yeah.
I'll double check it, but we'll tentatively set it for 8 a.m. on the Thursday, the 21st.
Thank you.
Okay, curriculum.
Nothing to report at this time.
Community outreach.
Dr. Winter, I have something. Do you have anything you want to report first?
I don't believe so.
If I may, on the anniversary of the terrible events of September 11, 2001, we remember many who lost their lives, including one of our own, Christina Sungar-Rook, a graduate of Westlake High School. She went on to graduate from the University of Michigan, an administrative assistant in the Human Resources Department of bond trading firm Cantor Fitzgerald. She worked on the 104th floor of the North Tower World Trade Center, 6 floors above where the plane hit. We think of the many who lost their lives on that day. We think of Christina. Those we love don't go away. They walk beside us every day. Always loved, always missed, and very dear. The board had an opportunity to participate in a memorial at Evergreen Cemetery with many, many members of Christina's family today, young and old. It's an annual event that's hosted by Historical Society and its president, Lisa Stanton, along with Mayor Clough. Principal Paul Wilson and Superintendent Goggin hosted all of Christina's family in Christina's corner of the Westlake High School Library for a moving remembrance. We were joined in a beautiful ceremony where Mrs. Butler's chorale group sang and presented to Christina's family. We were reminded of the scholarship that the Rook family gives to graduating Westlake High School seniors. Christina's fund has given many tens of thousands of dollars, and we thank the Rook family for allowing us to celebrate their daughter's life with them. We say thank you to her family for their continued generosity to our students and to the district. Separately, the board had an opportunity to participate in many events of Celebrate Westlake, the 5-mile run, the 5K walk, music festival. Many local businesses contributed. It was a true celebration of friendship. It was a great way to spend some time with so many and make our city great. The board also had an opportunity to participate in the city council meeting of September the 7th. At that meeting, they approved, of course, the Westlake City Schools plan for the new elementary school, which of course replaces the four aging elementary schools. This, of course, is the final phase of Westlake City Schools' building plan initiated years ago, and it's a reminder of the many who worked so hard for so many years to follow a dream and to make it come true. And we thank you to all who made this dream come true.
And I, just being present when Christina's father presents the scholarships, it's very moving. It's given every year to a student who is attending the University of Michigan, because that's where Christina graduated from. Mm-hmm. And he gives a very substantial amount of money. So it's always very nice when, at those scholarship presentations, to hear the history behind the scholarships that are given. So, yes, we have one of our own. We have to remember her. Any other comments or questions? Okay, that brings us to the next item, our board items, and we have one, and that is a resolution to approve the elementary handbook. And I am going to move to approve this in form, pending any typographical and grammatical edits. And do we want to add the items that don't pertain to elementary?
Those would be the edits. And I talked to Kathy a moment ago, and in the middle school one, sometimes they would put does not apply to.
Okay.
So what they did is, in the previous board meeting, you approved, I believe, the high school, middle school, and Dover Intermediate School. They've been working to do a combined handbook as they progress into the new elementary school together. There were a lot of differences, I think, in some areas, and also being able to merge or include new policy as well. So they do have it completed. There are some typos and grammatical things that need to be corrected still in this draft, but in content it should be ready.
Okay.
Well.
Okay. So is there a second?
Second.
Any other questions or discussion about the elementary handbook? Roll call, please.
To approve pending typographical and grammatical edits, Lozinski?
Yes.
Kraft?
Yes.
Finucane?
Yes.
Stoll?
Yes.
Winter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, our next item is board discussion on school fees, and I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Hopkins.
Thank you. You know, and really tonight, it sounds bigger on here than it really is. I just wanted to let the board know where we're at with a couple of things. One, I appreciate Mr. Goggin has headed up the idea of consolidating our fees into PowerSchool. PowerSchool, if you don't know, is our student information system. It holds all of our student information. So Mr. Goggin has been working with Mrs. Apple and the treasurer's office, as well as some of our secretaries, to try to consolidate this into PowerSchool. And the reason that I think this is a very good thing, and I'm very, very supportive of this, is this allows long-term tracking of the fees in one location. It allows for better tracking of those fees, making sure that we're able to see who paid or hasn't paid in that collection process. And it also, our hope is to integrate it with EasyPay so that we're able to have one point of paying to make it easier for our families as well. So in preparation of moving into PowerSchool, you know, I would like to present to the board, hopefully at the next board meeting, September 25th board meeting, a list of our fees or a fee schedule that I would ask for the board to approve. Before I add anything or have our administrative staff add anything into PowerSchool, I want to make sure the board is fully aware of all of the fees or any of the fees that we are charging, and have the board approval to charge those fees and to collect those fees moving forward, specifically in PowerSchool and EasyPay, but just knowing about the fees in general. Right now, Kathy Maxwell had done a lot of work last year in collecting information from our building levels on what fees we are collecting. And we're trying to get some consistency across the board through our buildings to make sure that what we're charging is appropriate and within our policy for the district. So we're working through that right now. You know, as you're aware from, you know, most of you is either, you know, had kids or currently have kids going through the district, you know, we generally tend not to charge a flat fee per se, but we do have fees for some of the consumables that we have, whether that's a Scholastic magazine or fees for some of the classes that we charge for a you know, a science lab fee or something of that nature. So you'll see a collection of that put together and a fee schedule broken down by building, and I would ask for the board's consideration and approval on that so that we can move forward in collecting it through PowerSchool.
So would your ultimate goal be able to do all payment through PowerSchool or just visibility through PowerSchool?
No, the ultimate payment would be, PowerSchool doesn't do payments directly, so there would be that tie-in with EasyPay. And so ultimately, you know, you would go, a parent would be able to log into the EasyPay portal, would be able to see, you know, really two sides of the equation, their student's lunch account, and pay their lunch balance or add money to the student's lunch balance. And then the opposite side of that would be fees, and including that would be like pay to participate,
right.
Any of the school fees that we would have. Probably not during the school year, but at the end of the school year, any outstanding library fines that there may be assessed. You know, we're able to throw that into PowerSchool so we get that long-term tracking and make sure that we are ultimately collecting on fees that are appropriate. Additionally, it helps in making sure that we have students who qualify for free lunch. Under Ohio Revised Code, any student who qualifies for a free lunch, we shall not charge a fee to. Not we may not, or, you know, choose not to, we shall not. So we're able to use PowerSchool to waive those fees automatically because PowerSchool knows if they're qualify for free or not. We add that information into PowerSchool.
So there's no integration today between the EasyPay and PowerSchool?
Right now, we have not set that up. The district in the past has not set that up. It is capable of doing it.
Right.
We've talked to both EasyPay and Connect, who oversees PowerSchool for us. We're debating some third-party integrator between the two that would provide better long-term transparency, as there are some shortfalls in PowerSchool. I'm not sure how much it would affect us, but there's a relatively low-cost integrator that would provide better transparency.
It'll help us on record keeping as well, would you say?
Absolutely. You know, a challenge right now is as we're looking at fees. Fees, even though we're not charging a ton of fees by any means, there's a pretty broad spectrum of fees that we charge, and some of the tracking is a bit of a challenge right now. So you know, I'm not gonna pick on anyone, but you know, if you would ask me to say, okay, I want to know, you know, who hasn't paid X fee.
Right.
It would be a bit of a challenge for me to do that right now, and I would have to contact the building levels. They would probably have to look maybe in an Excel spreadsheet or through paper to see who's paid or who hasn't paid, make sure that matches up with receipts. You know, this would be, we'd go into PowerSchool, we could easily run a report saying these are students who still owed. You know, we're able to match up our receipts instantly to see as payments come in. Well, did they put it into PowerSchool? Yep, they have the appropriate receipt with it. We're able to pay it in, so we get that tracking and there's less confusion.
Sounds like it's an easy process to bring EasyPay into PowerSchool as well.
EasyPay, fortunately, EasyPay does integrate with PowerSchool. I've not used PowerSchool in my previous district. We use Dazzle, very similar to PowerSchool. We had the Dazzle and EasyPay integration. We've had it for a significant number of years, and it worked very well.
Right now, one of the biggest issues that we're looking at and we need to figure out a solution to is pay to participate and the family cap, and because that's pretty unique to us, so we need to figure out how to do that in PowerSchool. So it's not without its struggles going into it, but the struggles aren't going to be worth not doing it, you know. And as a parent, I use the PowerSchool app, and if you scroll to the bottom, it'll list your fees, and it's really, and right now it just says zeros, and because we don't have any fees listed inside there, but, you know, I when we were talking to the team, I watched my wife in the beginning of August with my American Express card, just going through and say, okay, there's PTA, there's music boosters, there's this, and then all the school fees. And even though those won't go into the power school, still from a parent's perspective, it's all school. And then to be able to have and say, okay, I did this, and then did I forget anything? And if there's anything school related, there's a place they can check. Oh, wait a minute, I have a son in the middle school, so do I call this person who may have it on a spreadsheet there, or then the high school, I gotta call this person who may have it on a spreadsheet there. And there's also the concept of collection of cash. We would like to limit that as much as possible. I would probably safely say for Todd that we would love to see as many people use Easy Pay, because that would, one of the things in our audit they ask is, what are some areas that are weak? You know, do you know of any weaknesses that you can improve upon? This is one of them. You know, if we look at our fees and how we're collecting them, the more we can have them documented in one place, such as PowerSchool for historical reasons, and also if we can have that integration with Easy Pay, and if we can get the majority of people using that, it would really make it a lot cleaner.
Is it unfair just to require it once that system is running?
You know, generally, there's two things, and one of the things that I'd like to talk about in our finance committee, we can certainly broach the topic tonight, but maybe we can have more in-depth conversations next week, would be, right now we charge a convenience fee for Easy Pay. Now, I say this very, you know, respectfully, and I mean no disrespect, but, you know, we're charging a fee to our stakeholders for what's ultimately our convenience, not theirs. And so I kind of find that humorous. It's the same thing that I'm against charging Ticketmaster, charging a convenience fee, you know, to, you know, I'm really making it more convenient for you than it is for me. So I would encourage the board or the finance committee initially to look at the possibility of removing that convenience fee. Now, what I've done in the past is I've removed the convenience fee and then went to the step that said, okay, you know what, we're not going to take checks anymore, okay, because of the liability with NSFs and track hunting down checks. So we would do online payments. The problem is, it's always hard for me to turn down cash. I mean, I won't lie.
Well, there's also people that only use cash.
Correct. Yeah. And that's where, you know, I would still, you know, we might say to reduce our liability, if you're going to pay in cash, it's cash or money order, and it has to be turned in directly to the treasurer's office during these hours. Mm-hmm. You know, make it so it's still an option, but it's a less viable or less used option than paying online. I would like to encourage that. It gives us much better tracking, much better reporting. It, you know, if there is any type of fraud going on, it's much easier to see than, you know, cash that, you know, I've personally seen grown legs and walk away. I mean, that's the problem with cash. Mm-hmm. I would be very hesitant to say, you know, I won't take cash because cash is still king. So, you know.
Waiting for that. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I, you know, really appreciate your efforts at, again, streamlining, finding efficiencies, making us really have our operations look better for our auditors. I mean, we want it not just look better, but we want to make sure that we're able to really keep an eye on things, and like you said, cash.
Well, and I think ultimately, you know, whether it's
different buildings is not.
Well, and ultimately, you know, the auditors, you know, we certainly want the auditors to be happy, okay? Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. But also, I think for me, you know, we're looking at reducing our risk and showing that to the community,
exactly.
Saying here, you know, what we're doing is we're reducing the risk that the community mm-hmm. is ultimately responsible for. While we certainly hold that while in office that each of us have, it's ultimately the community's risk, and we want to reduce that as much as possible. Mm-hmm. So I think this is one way. I really appreciate the work of Mr. Goggin and Mrs. Apple specifically, mm-hmm. You know, to move this down the road to where we can get this integration mm-hmm. with PowerSchool in hopes of reducing that long-term risk.
Well, thank you. I like those words. I like those words. And also, just while I'm at the consolidation, thank you for already getting pieces and parts of the consolidation working, it makes sense for us to have one elementary handbook. So I know that that's just one step in what's going to be a lot of steps in the next two school years, getting us ready for one elementary.
And that was one of the big things that I know Kathy did that with secondary, and Alex has been working with the elementary schools to pull that together. And it's no simple task,
no.
I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
So.
I have a question, a couple questions. I would agree on the convenience fee, since we're already asking a lot of the parents to pay additional. That's just kind of like salt in the wound. But, in the past, have we approved a slate of fees? I'm just curious. I just don't remember doing that in the past, and if we have, maybe then I'm going to.
You know, I would say in the past you probably have not approved a fee schedule per se. I know in looking into some of it, sometimes they've been included in the handbook. I'm just trying to combine them, and you have approved the handbooks. I'm trying to combine them into a single fee schedule that we can, you know, have greater control over what fees we're charging, and that everyone is fully aware of what they are.
Are there going to be any proposed changes to the schedule, or more just trying to consolidate them all in one place?
You know, I think that, you know, as we sit here on September 11th and, you know, already into the school year, I would say that my goal, my personal goal, and anyone else can, you know, speak differently to that, is that we take the time right now to look at what we're charging, okay? I'm looking for that formal board approval, don't get me wrong, but then work into this year and then maybe have this topic again in April as we look to a fee schedule for next year. I think it would be a more appropriate time to change it in the spring if we're going to make changes. This year I'm really trying to get, you know, I think the challenge for me is, as we're finding from some of the building levels, and again, not casting blame, there's enough for me, myself, okay, it's just, but sometimes not everyone's aware of fees that we're charging. So as we start asking these questions and prompting these conversations, it's, oh, well, they charge that in their classroom and the teacher collects it. Well, if you're charging a fee, one, we can't charge it to students. If it's an academic fee, we can't charge it to students who qualify as free. Two is the teacher, in theory, shouldn't know if the student's free or not. So that's another piece. So it should be collected at the office level, where the building administrator or administrative assistant can know if the student's free or not. But then, you know, it brings it under the umbrella of saying, okay, these are what we're charging, gives us all a greater understanding of what we're charging. And then if we are looking to make those changes, we'll address that, you know, March, April-ish, sometime in the early spring to plan for next year.
Okay, that's good. I mean, that's I guess, the point I was trying to get to is, I didn't want to just review something and not being able to, or approve something without having to really review it. But considering we're in the start of the school year, we spend the time over the next number of months, we'd be able to make an educated changes if we wanted in April.
We've actually already put them, we have our agendas for our administrative meetings already made for the year, and they're already, this topic is already on the February agenda.
I think that makes sense to look at it from a district perspective, because we have families with students in multiple buildings, and we as a school district need to know how much our families are being asked to pay out. And, you know, we need to look at that fair, you know, what is fair to be asking our parents and what can they afford.
But as part of the integration, this is more of a more detailed thing, but
sure.
Ideally, as Mr. Goggin pointed out, I used the PowerSchool app as well, and you can look down there. If there was dollars on there saying that I owed, it would be perfect to be able to just say, pay here.
Yeah.
And since you're already logged into PowerSchool, somehow it's integrated in with EasyPay, which are both password protected, and it goes over to your EasyPay account, and then you just pay it right then and there. Instead of having to log in.
Kind of like using PayPal when you're on a site, and then it goes over, and then it directs you back.
Right.
I can look into it and have my office check more into the PowerSchool side. As far as I'm aware, there's not a fee-paying program that's part of PowerSchool.
No.
So
this would be clearly just, you know, click here and it takes you automatically into
to the EasyPay site.
Yeah.
And it logs you out.
And logs you in, and that's where I don't know if there's that integration at all.
Yeah. So, it's hard enough to keep track of two different passwords.
We also, and the other part is, you know, we talk about collection of fees, and one of the things that I just we just have to do a better job with is, you just brought up the app and having the total cost at the bottom. You know, again, with all the fees, when my kids that participate, you know, okay, we paid, they paid to participate, we paid transportation. I think we did transportation for that. And so, you know, I in the meeting, I said, I could be on a spreadsheet and not know it. Having somebody say that he hasn't paid the $25. We think we're all paid up. And we double checked that we are, by the way. And, but the point is, you know, people need to know, because when we talk about some fees not being collected, there are people, I'm sure, walking around having no idea that they owe us anything, and then their students become seniors, and then you can have some things add up, and then you have this big bill that you may or may not have known about, right?
Written note, transcripts.
Yeah.
Well, don't they send a letter, like, at the end of
yes,
the school
they do.
Year?
Yeah, yeah, okay. They, all that, but I guess I'm just saying,
okay.
You know, how we talk about many of our fees not being collected, but what percentage of it is because people may not know that they owe it. So it's just, we talked a lot about it, and you know, Todd and I both believe that, you know, we need to have it integrated, documented, completely on the table. This is what it costs. This is all the things with it. This is how we're tracking it. We're going to try and limit cash as much as we can. So we've been talking about it quite a bit, and just think we're at a point where we can move forward.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. I've had parents ask me why we don't charge a book fee like some of the other surrounding districts do, but I heard you say that we do charge a consumable fee if there's some consumable workbooks or whatever, the kids do pay for that.
In certain situations, we have some charges for workbooks. I think we've seen that mostly in the foreign language classes. You know, we've seen for the workbooks, as well as some other areas, or I've seen the Scholastic magazine that we charge $3 or $5 or $7, something like that, on an annual basis for that Scholastic magazine. There are some, and I think that's, you know, a good portion for us as the administrative team is to look at it and say, okay, now that we have a good handle on where fees are, because the principal has a good handle in their building, but maybe not, you know, district-wide. So once we get a good handle on it district-wide, we go to the administrative team and say, okay, what is appropriate? What do we feel is appropriate? What's appropriate for families to pay for? What's not appropriate for families to pay for? What's, you know, we certainly don't want to damage relations over, you know, a $20 general fee that in a long term is very, you know, minuscule in the grand scheme of the district compared to support for a funding issue in the future. And that's where, you know, I want to walk that line where we're charging appropriate, and a lot of times I think the most appropriate things are when you see like a workbook or you know, something that's a true consumable that they're going to have, and it's theirs, it's yours, take with you, God bless, you know, have a good time. Compared to, you know, I've seen some districts that just charge a broad, you know, $100 fee. What's it for? Copy costs. I think you start getting some pretty poor, you know, bad taste in people's mouths when you
school fees. And like, I'll tell you, let me just jump in on two things with it. And you know, I've been in a district where they just say it's $90, and then as a building principal, we would look at all the different things that we were charging for, and I'd say, well, you know, there's some left, and you know, we're charging, you know, $50 worth, and there's $40, and it's like, oh, well, that goes towards copies, like the copy lease, copy paper. People don't want to hear that. You know, that, I mean, that's why I like the itemized. I like being able to say, you're in this grade, we buy these things, mm-hmm. and you want to take the foreign language or these other courses or that type of thing, this is what it costs. And so people can look at it itemized. We don't want any type of padded type situation where we make something up. And just to the other thing we really looked at was our board policy. And here's what it says in regards to fees, and it's short. It says, the Board of Education will provide the necessary textbooks and/or electronic textbooks required by the course of study free of charge for its students. So we don't do a textbook fee. That's, we have said in our policy we're going to do that free of charge. However, it says the board may need to levy certain charges to students to facilitate the utilization of other appropriate materials for curricular as well as co-curricular and extracurricular non-credit activities. Such charges would be made on expendable items such as magazines, workbook materials, paperback selections, laboratory supplies, materials for clubs, independent studies, special projects, and district-sponsored trips. A waiver of fees shall be made pursuant to policy 6152.01, which is what Mr. Hopkins was talking about the free students. So it's really stated that we don't do textbooks, sure. We don't do what you need inside there, but it's pretty much saying consumables or district-sponsored trip. We talk about that with the field trips, you know, the band's mm-hmm. going to Disney World, you know, we're not gonna pay that. You know, they'll do their fundraising and pay themselves.
Okay, my other question or comment, and I don't expect you to have this information, but at the time that we instituted the pay to play, it was agonizing. You guys remember how we talked about it. And I don't expect you to have this information, but do you think there are kids that are not able to pay, and have we started a scholarship fund? And Mr. Cipollone would probably know this more. You know, have we started a scholarship fund to accommodate those kids?
Well, we've talked about this too, and what's unique with the way Westlake implemented the pay to participate is there's really not a penalty. Like for example, in my previous district, pay to participate, you needed to have the funds turned in by a certain date or else you don't participate in the activities. We don't do that. There's no penalty other than it gets put on your tab and then you end up paying for it. We talked a little bit about this in regards to the scholarship, and it just wasn't quite, we didn't know, I'm sure it's very clear to them, but we didn't know how that ended up working with the funding
okay.
of that.
I didn't know if the Demons Boosters were involved at all, and you know.
We would have to look into it
yeah,
a little bit more. We don't have the.
Okay, at the time, I just remember. I mean, I know we agonized over it. We just didn't want any child not able to participate in anything because their family wasn't able.
And
to
I don't believe that has happened.
Okay. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Well, was that our board comment session?
Oh, no.
We have another area for board comments, and you know what I don't see in here is the second public.
We don't do that on.
We don't do that on the website. Okay, sorry. Don't get to say anything. Okay. So if the board has nothing else. Okay, at this time then, is there a motion to adjourn to executive session?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
To adjourn into executive session at 6:38 p.m. Stoll?
Yes.
Kraft?
Yes.
Finucane?
Yes.
Lozinski?
Yes.
Winter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
And no action will be taken.